Welcome to Tonight in Mobile.
Hey, gang, you're rolling with rockin' Ricky Rialto, the voice of Kingston Falls, USA.
It's Tonight in Mobile.
Got my money?
Oh, yeah, I don't have it, sorry.
Oh, well, all right then. Where's my money, man?
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Engaging the people, the city, and all Port City Patriots.
Spot. Signal this to all decks. All weapons to full power.
All weapons to full power.
You were born a boy, you stay a boy. You were born a girl, you stay a girl.
Yes, baby! Yes, baby!
It's Tonight in Mobile with John Young.
I love this so much!
I know you do.
It's got electrolytes.
It's got electrolytes.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
Tonight in Mobile, presented by Neudrolix, with in-studio guests and your calls and texts. Tonight in Mobile with John Young on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. I am your host, Mr. Mobile, also known as Chocolate Thunder. Boom, let's get right down to it. Rest in peace, Captain Eddie Ragland. He passed away, or his funeral was August 6th. I did not know, but I did serve with him many years ago in Pritchard Police Department. He had a profound effect on my career. Keep his family in your thoughts and prayers. Get well soon. Chris, give me some Moy. He injured his hand while at the beach. He said he has several weeks of rehab before he can use it again. And it's a strong hand, so keep him in your thoughts and prayers. And Leanne here at the station is doing a GoFundMe for a liver transplant. So if you go to Facebook, look her up and see what you can do. I think the goal is like $3,500, and there's still quite a bit of ways from it. So if you think about it, chip in.
We love Leanna here.
She's a wonderful woman.
She is.
So I'm reading through the Lagniappe. A couple of stories crossed my mind or caught my eye. And the first one is Data Centers. No Worries is what it's titled. It's written by Cal Hamrick. And I'm against data centers right now until we know more about it. Just like I was against the jab a few years ago until we know more about what the effects were. And it turns out many of us that did not get the jab were right, because some people were pulling blood clots out of their legs and having all sorts of effects from it. And the same thing with this data center. The news article states that the construction is supposed to begin in Calvert at the end of the year, and it would consume 7,500 gallons of water per day. And the justification is, which is about as much as a 50-lot subdivision, but no information on how much money would be needed to cool the data center. Alabama Power says, data centers do not make your power bill go up. At Alabama Power, we have a very disciplined approach that requires data centers to pay their full cost. Do we really trust Alabama Power Company to say that our rates won't go up? Right, when there's a larger demand. I tell you, where I live, there's an Amazon hub built. And it has changed in the neighborhood. It doesn't smell the same. There's more. It has lots of power outages, and I can't directly say that Amazon is responsible, but we have more power surges. I'm not for it. I'm not for the government trying to shove down our throats. One of the gubernatorial candidates is saying, oh, data center, China. Well, no, let's stop scaring people. Let's inform people what the true nature of these things are, whatever its benefits. One thing that was in the article, it says that the county can expect to receive $49 million, and the Mobile County Public School Systems can expect $50 million a year. Haven't we heard all this song and dance before? Haven't we been promised how much more money would go into the coffers for the government and schools? Have any of these promises really come to fruition? Are we really willing to sell out our future? Of our health, of our environment. If you build this thing in the middle of Calvert, where animals live and that's God's country. You can't say that, even if it's a subdivision, 7,500 square or a 50-lot subdivision, it would have an effect on the wildlife. It has to. Someone has to dig up the grounds. You will displace animals. You will force animals into living areas. We can't pretend that there aren't consequences to it. And so what's the hurry? If what they're saying is so true and it's safe, why not wait? You know, when we went through the whole deal of redistricting the state districts for U.S. representatives and Senate, and what was the rush? Why is everything we're told that has to be done now or there's no tomorrow? And we've always been duped. Anytime we let someone tell us, you got to do this now, weapons of mass destruction, 1 week away from a bomb, every time we've been told these hurry up and do it now articles, it's been wrong. It's been false. We've been misled and lied to, misguided. You know, another article that was in the Land Gap was written by Ashley Trice, A Tale of Two Port Cities. And she visited Charleston, South Carolina, and said that it has a vibrant downtown. It's thriving. It looks great. In her article, she writes upon her return to Mobile, but I will say, driving back through downtown on the Monday after we returned, it did not just feel kind of, well, stagnant. The same buildings have been sitting vacant for decades. We have been talking about a bridge that would be pretty transformative and change our skyline for the better. When you compare the amount of major national retailers on Charleston's King Street, which could be the Rodeo Drive of the South, to the ones on Dolphin Street, God bless them, they're trying, it just pales in comparison. That would take you a month to eat your way through Chucktown, and you'll still miss out on something. And she said something that I thought about, how Mobile, downtown Mobile, just looks stagnant. There isn't any growth and development. There isn't enough new businesses or new companies. There's no development constant. There should be constant building because there are so many empty buildings. And this is my conclusion. Downtown Mobile is in trouble because of the vagrant bum beggars. They've taken over every park. You can't go sit in the park with your family and enjoy yourself on a picnic because the vagrant bum beggars are everywhere. They have just taken over every facet of what makes a downtown downtown. And then when you add in the feral bands of undisciplined, unsupervised teenagers at night, it doesn't make for a comfortable environment for businesses. How could you open a business confidently and at any moment a bunch of feral teenagers might storm your store or start shooting or fighting? And during the day, the vagrant bum beggars are running off your business. They're sleeping in doorways, urinating in doorways, or just making a nuisance of themselves. We have to straighten out those things for anyone to be comfortable opening something downtown. We have to have the stomach to say, okay, you vagrant bum beggars, we have a plan for you. Just like the vagrant bum beggars that are begging on every corner, we just have to enforce city ordinances that are already on the books. We already have enough laws. We just have to have the stomach to enforce them. And then people can be comfortable coming downtown. I've had plenty of friends that say, man, there's no way I'm going downtown after dark. I've heard plenty of friends that live in Baldwin County say, there's no way I drive over there. And that's because of the vagrant bum beggars and the feral teenagers. Period. You cannot go out and enjoy yourself at some of the very nice restaurants in downtown because of the vagrant bum beggars and the feral teenagers. They're standing on the sidewalk, or they're in the parking lots playing loud music, smoking dope, yelling, screaming, arguing, and fighting. So we have to be willing to confront the truth. We have to state the truth and then do something about it. And if we just enforce the laws that we already have, we'll see a difference. I want to hear what you think. 251-343-0106. We're coming up on our first break. We'll be right back today. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, and I have some pretty interesting topics. Thank you, guys. What a nice surprise that you added that in right there. All right, thank you. Thank you, Hatter.
You got it.
It caught me by surprise. By the way, I hate the sound of my voice. I hate hearing myself.
What?
I hate hearing myself. I did some voiceover work and we were listening. I walked out the room. I just hate the way I sound. But I don't hate Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn.
Amen.
That's 266 East I-65 Service Road North. Their phone number is 251-479-GOLD or 4653. Go see Ed, Sandra, Braxton, J.J. Dean, Carson, Emma, Juanita, Becky, and Dolly before you buy at a big box store, before you buy from a chain store. Go see what they have, whether it's a chainsaw, lawnmower, running boards, backpack blower, banjo, gold coins, something for your bathroom, your bedroom, your boudoir. Check with them before you buy it. They probably have it, and if they don't, they could probably tell you where to get it. And also, JJ still gives great hugs, and Braxton's beard needs to be brushed. Did you get anything from the line? I saw you give me the look.
Oh, not yet.
Okay, great.
We did have one.
So let's talk about, why don't I talk about PA? What's going on in Pritchard with their department and people being arrested? And I have been very obviously not saying anything about it. Because I worked out there 6 years in the 90s. I started my career there in 92. And there were some senior officers there that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. When I had a head full of hair, I weighed 190 pounds. Man, you couldn't tell me anything. I was a good looking cop. I was a bang. But they showed me so much love that directed and guided my career. And so I don't say anything about the current status of Pritchard because first, I respect the people that poured into me to make me survive as long as I have. And out of respect for the officers there that are still there that I know, I've served with several of them there and in my current job. So it's just out of respect that I don't talk about it. But let's talk about manners. This is something I will talk about. We've lost our way and being in a polite, and I have terrible insomnia. My insomnia is undefeated. Sometimes at night I come up with new ideas, and now I have the circle of a civilized society. And I'm going to have to put it on paper and write it down and explain to y'all. But to you all, I can't believe I said y'all, to you all what it means. But let's talk about manners. Manners is defined as the polite and socially correct ways you behave around other people. They show respect for the feelings and comfort of others. Good manners help people feel safe and respected during daily life. Examples of good manners: saying please and thank you, holding doors open for others, listening when someone speaks, and chewing with your mouth closed. Cultural differences. Manners change based on where you live. Slurping food can be polite in some places, but rude in others. Always learn the local customs. And thank you, honey, for telling me I have a lovely voice. What I've learned is that we've become so ill-mannered that it's normalized now. Talking in the grocery store on your phone on speaker mode, being loud and obnoxious, using profanity in public. And I give some of these women a hard time the way they're dressed, but you don't even want to see a 3620, a brick house walking around with her derriere exposed or push-up girdles on. We've become so ill-mannered in our society that it is now normal. It is normal to be impolite and rude. If you go into a restaurant, like you want to stop and get a sandwich, and if there are people behind it, they don't say, hello, welcome to JY's Deli. They just stare at you. Will you take my order? They don't say sir and ma'am anymore. You know, I've waited my entire life to be called sir, because I was raised to call sir and ma'am. And there's no sir and ma'am anymore. There's no consideration anymore. There's no, maybe I shouldn't do this in public anymore. Yes, jokes are funny. And my brothers and I cut up all the time when we're on the telephone. But when we're in public, we have to remember, maybe the Hatter doesn't think that joke is funny. Maybe the Hatter doesn't want to be disturbed by my Liberace greatest hits playing in the background. Maybe he doesn't want to hear. No, maybe he doesn't want to hear, you know, cement twister, putty putty. And so we need to be more considerate, and we've just lost our way. That's another thing that goes into these wild, feral teenagers that are roaming downtown and roaming Bel Air Mall. They have no idea. They're not even conscious of the way they behave and carry themselves. And at this point, it's a lost circle of a civilized society. One of the foundations is the family, and the other is education. But you're hardly able to have a conversation with so many young people, even men my age, because they don't even speak standard English anymore. It is something between grunt, groan, moan, deep breath with a bruh in it every once in a while. You can't understand. We're impolite. School teachers, have a conversation with a school teacher and see how their children behave with them. Go sit in the Bel Air Mall, just on the bench at the main entrance, and just sit there for an hour on a Saturday and see how rude and impolite people are to one another. I've done it. It's just amazing. It is curious to see how people can argue with people. A customer will argue with the person preparing their food. I don't argue at a restaurant. If my meal comes out incorrect, send it back. That's the end of the conversation. No, you can't reorder, make my food again, because I don't know what you'll do to it, and I probably won't be back. There's no reason I'm going to argue and yell and scream with anyone over a baked potato, at an undercooked baked potato. Hey, this is wrong. I'll get you another one. You don't have to, because you might stick your thumb in it. Then brought that potato out, and it was just as undercooked as the other one. No big deal. We don't look at each other as human beings anymore. Everyone has to have a caste system. You're beneath me, and because of what you do, or I'm above you because of what I'm wearing. And it's hard to have a civilized society when basic communications like please, thank you, excuse me. That's one of the things that no one even says anymore. They don't say excuse me. Some people might say excuse me or something like that, but there's no articulated, excuse me, sir, may I pass you? There are people talking on their cell phones, waddling, typing messages in front of you as you're trying to traverse and go wherever you, it's just impolite that people will pull up beside you playing loud music. It is impolite to enter a private establishment reeking of marijuana or being loud and drunk and belligerent and using profanity. In a civilized society, those things have to be shunned. They cannot be normalized. And we have become so ill-mannered that is our new normal. And just like the vagrant bum beggars, they have become so conditioned to just sit on the park bench because we tolerate it. We allow it. You see these vagrant bums and beggars and bums standing out in front of Tingle Circle, begging every day. They beg in shifts. And people are the suckers are the people who stop and give them money. That's not a civilized society. And the more we tolerate it, it only gets worse. The more we tolerate people blocking streets, it only gets worse. The ill-mannered and uncivilized do not give back ground that they take, and we believe we're giving them grounds to placate them. They can't be placated. They have an insatiable desire to consume and spread like a cancer. Think of some of the really nice areas. I remember Chateau Oaks when my parents divorced. Dad went to live there with Hollis Warren, his best friend. They were nice. You remember that Hatter, Chateau Oaks on Spring Hill Avenue right there at Kennedy? They were nice. It's closed now. I guess they're going to demolish it. But Knollwood, Cimarron Ridge, the list goes on and on of areas that were just really, really nice. But we kept trying to accommodate ill-mannered, uncivilized behavior, and now they're not nice. We used to turn our backs on. There was an expectation of dignity and class in people, and they expected themselves to carry themselves in a dignified class way. But not anymore. Not anymore. And we've accepted it. We've tolerated and put up with it. That's why we're forever the city that's on the verge of greatness. Just one more thing that can make us great. I'm glad that the golf course, is it on Brookley Field, or is that there's one that just reopened out near me. I think there was a discussion about the one on Brookley Field. Great. Those are wonderful things. But if we don't have rules in place to dictate the behavior and mannerisms, then they're just going to fall to the side like everything else. Yeah, I discriminate, but it isn't based on your appearance, even Lizzo. It's based on your behavior. I don't want to be around that. We're coming up on our break, 251-343-0106. Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We'll come back and talk about manners some more and then talk about something else. Thanks. Okay, we're back. The Hatter and I, during the break, were talking about COVID and how people were just trying to push the vaccine on you. I got COVID. It was bad. It's like a very bad flu, and it turned my boo-boo neon yellow. Yeah. I tried to laugh then, but, you know, I was passing out. That's one of those things that is hurry up and do it. And that's why I'm suspicious of these data centers. They're saying, hurry up and make a decision. Hurry up. We need to do it. And, you know, listen to what our governor candidates are saying. Listen to their plans and what they are proposing. Here's an issue. First, I'm going to read this. Paul Check said, Chick-fil-A has the right answer. That's why people love them. That's right, because every time you go to Chick-fil-A, you'll get the same repeated service. And at the end of the service, you'll get my pleasure. And as far as the mall is, meet the nice folks before the mall opens and the nice grown folks walking the mall. Now that you're retired, I guess you'll be walking the mall also. And if you want, I could have Jennifer Boozer hook you up. You know. But another thing about manners is Mobile has a dirty culture. And what I mean by dirty culture is everywhere you drive, there's like paper on the side of the road. And there's not everywhere, several places don't. The places that have pride in their community and don't want that. But there's so many places, so many public spaces. And that's just from the people. We can't expect sanitation workers to go around picking up everything. Sometimes I find myself stopping and just picking up paper to throw it away. It is annoying to me to see the filth, but Mobile has a subculture of it's okay to leave your diaper in the parking lot, a used soiled diaper in the parking lot of Dollar General. It's okay to throw potato chip bags and entire fast food bags with two sandwiches, fried box, and a soda in the parking lot at the local grocery store. It's okay to throw things out of the window when you're done with it, whether it's a beer bottle or a can of hairspray. And that is something that we have to change. That is selfish and ill-mannered, to throw bottles out of the window. And I think part of this goes back to the vagrant bum beggars. Wherever they're standing vagranting and begging and bumming, they leave trash on the ground. In the areas that you see vagrancy and bumming, those areas are usually not very clean. And I ask this, I had and I talked about it. Why don't you see vagrants and bums and beggars in Daphne? Why don't you see Vegas Bums and Beggars and Spanish Fort? They don't tolerate it. Why don't you see trash on the side of the roads there? They don't tolerate it. These are things that we as a community, patriots, we have to say that this is what we want to project. If your family comes into town, you want to take them out, they're here, and maybe they're here on vacation or just hanging out. You take them downtown on a Saturday morning. They can't get a daiquiri because there's nowhere, restaurants aren't open selling adult beverages in the morning, especially on Sunday, but they're only here for the weekend, and I want to show them a good time. The vagrants, bums, and beggars are out already. I can't take them down. I can't take them areas at night because the feral teenagers are running amok. These are things we have to change. We have to change these things and make demands from people who are in control to make these changes. But down Pensacola, I don't like Pensacola anymore because they have these cameras at the red lights that write you a ticket and tell you you have to pay it. And it's based in Orlando. The tickets are generated in Orlando, Florida, but they send you a ticket in the mail to you saying you pay this, and it's a civil, but we'll write you a traffic ticket. Well, I want to go to court, and I want the person that wrote me the ticket to prove that was me driving. So I'm not a big fan of Pensacola right now, but it is a clean city. The people there have adopted the mentality that where I live will be clean. The government decided to do this idiotic idea of red light tickets for money, you know. But we have to change that. And that's all on us, of what we tolerate, what we accept, what we normalize. And it's past time for us to grow up. It is time for us to stop tolerating second-rate status. We're a city of 200,000 people. The population has been decreasing since 2020. It was like a mass, it's like 1,500 people left then. I think we're down to like 700 people a year now. But people are leaving Mobile. They'll work here. They'll even work in our city government. But they live across the bay. So what are we benefiting if they come here to work and bring a lunch with them and then they take their tax dollars and spend them there? We have to make Mobile the place to be desired. Listen, Kevin Lee was here last week. I know Mobile has a sordid history. I'm not denying it. But as it stands now, the port city is what we make it. If I had the money, let's say I hit the lottery or find out that I have a long-lost Uncle Scrooge who left me $1 billion, I would buy up blocks of downtown Mobile and refurbish it easily. And with that kind of money, I could throw it around saying, hey, we don't want these vagrant bums and beggars down here. One of the worst things, decisions that was made, was to build that, it was a Salvation Army, I think, in downtown. And so they sleep there at night, but then they have to get out between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., I think. So where do they go? They just walk downtown. I think that was one of the worst decisions that could have been made. Then the state closed all of our mental health facilities. And now they outsource it to these group homes, for-profit group homes, who don't care if the people are there or not. They just make sure they get their check every month. So there's a lot to the problem that I'm talking about. I'm not just pointing one finger. I'm pointing 10 fingers and 10 toes in 10 different directions with my thumbs pointing back at me. That this is a problem that we have to be interested in. Actually, Trice said it best. Mobile looks stagnant. I remember when Dolphin Street was just started booming in the mid-90s, and there was maybe four or five bars open down there. And we would load up and go down, and the buildings are still there. Now, I don't think we should tear down any more historic buildings. That's one of the charms of Charleston, South Carolina, and the charm of Georgia. What is it? The historic city in Georgia. I can't think of it right now. No. It's on the coast. Savannah. But that's the charm they have. And if we're not careful, look at what's happened in New Orleans. New Orleans used to be fun to go for the day and hang out. But now the vagrants, bums, and beggars have taken them. They have horrible leadership, by the way. I think their mayor was indicted. And the county sheriff for that parish, she was indicted. But it used to be fun. Bourbon Street was the safest place in New Orleans. You never heard about a shooting or a fight on Bourbon Street. But now it isn't. And so we have to be careful here that it doesn't get that out of hand. And we owe it to ourselves and our community to make Mobile cleaner, to make Mobile. You're always going to have incidents. Don't get me wrong. But we need to be honest about these incidents, who's committing them, where they're committed. And you should feel safe. There's never a zero-sum game. There's always an opportunity. But you should at least feel safe. It should be a clean environment. I tell you one thing. Criminals don't really like clean environment or well-lit areas or paved streets because they're bummed. They're criminals. They want to be in their element. So if we pave streets and cut grass and give sufficient lighting, the roaches are going to go to the dark. I'm funny, but do you want me to hook you up or not, Paul? So we have to make it uncomfortable for them. We have to set a standard. I'm all for restaurants saying no ball caps, no sweatshirts. If I go and spend $75 for a steak, I shouldn't have to hear the person's conversation at the table next to me. I shouldn't smell marijuana on the people next to me or a loud lip-smacking conversation. I'll pay it. If they say I have to wear a jacket to dinner, I'll wear a jacket. If they say you can't wear soft-bottom shoes, I won't wear soft-bottom shoes. But we have to set these standards and put up guardrails to protect our civility. If not, then we will go the way of so many other cities that have compromised their standards and kept backing up because they didn't want to be offensive, because they didn't want to be labeled. Well, I don't mind. Because we have to do something. For however many years I have left, they will be spent here in the port city. I was born here and I'm going to die here and ain't no ha 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 going to run me off of it. River it. Blazing Saddles. Did you get that? Yeah. Yeah. And so I always talk about accountability and responsibility. It starts with me. And back to manners. Southern Style Studios is Men United Against Violence. So we're paying for MUAV is paying for the haircuts. Southern Style Studios is providing the haircuts. And you know, there are people who don't tip. There are people who get a free haircut and don't give the barber something for his effort. And I've had this experience before where we did bought some clothes for Christmas for some families, and one family, I think it was a dozen, and only one family came back and said, thank you. I think people have become so conditioned to being given things that they no longer see it as, we don't have to, you know, we didn't have to pay for these haircuts, but they see it as someone's going to do it, and they're ungrateful. The fact that you can get a haircut professionally done and not say, hey, Mr. Barber, here's 10 bucks for you. That's ill-mannered. That's a symbol of ungratefulness. Not saying thank you to people when they're providing something to you that they don't have to. We are not compelled by anything other than the will of the Lord. And Marcus told me, well, you just have to be satisfied with doing what you're supposed to do. But doggone it, sometimes saying thank you could go a long way. We'll be right back with our final segment. Stick around, 251-343-0106.
If I eat a little kid sticks his finger in my plate, I'll be signing autographs for 3 months like that.
Hey guys, we're back. I have to once again say, check out Eddie's Wholesale Jewelry and Pawn. Thank you, Neudrolics. Thank you, Trip Pittman. And thank you, Alabama Injury and Pain Clinic. You know, I'm in school. I'm enrolled online. And so now I'm in the portion of community relations and police. And we always hear about police reform. Yesterday was the 12th anniversary of Mike Brown attacking Darren Wilson in Ferguson, Illinois, and set off what became the Black Lives Matter movement, hands up, don't shoot. And by now, if you don't know the truth about that entire episode, then that's because you want to remain ignorant. But in this class, we talk heavily about police reform. Great. As if the police are always the root cause of the problem. As if the police are the only people that need training. Great. Police do need training. They need constant training and being up to date on current laws, case history. They need to be physically fit. They should have mental health evaluations mandatory to go see just to release the pressure. I believe in all those things. But you can't talk about police reform without talking about societal reform and judicial reform. You can't talk about police reform without talking about people raising their kids. Raise your children. Teach your children manners. Teach your children a work ethic. You can't talk about the police de-escalating if you never tell your child how to learn to sit down and shut up and follow orders. You can't tell the police that, oh, Dan had to do that to he, without telling your kid, don't point a gun at the police. Don't run from the police. Don't fight the police. Have your butt in the house at 10 o'clock tonight. You can't talk about that without saying society has to see itself differently and society has to do a better job. I have grown weary of this idea that every problem that is faced, especially by young black men in society, is because of the police. I am just sick and tired of it. No, you're raising these sorry behind children. You're not teaching your children respect and manners. You aren't teaching your children to be polite. They don't even listen to you. You know your kids are sorry and they fight you and ignore you and drop out of school. You know you raised your daughter to go out there and pop to behave that way. I didn't say it. But you want everyone else to bow down and kowtow to it and subjugate themselves to accommodating this behavior. If you go and commit a crime, you have increased your likelihood of having negative contact with police. But if you do not commit crimes, don't frequent areas where crimes are committed, don't associate with people who commit crimes, you have a 99% chance of not having a negative contact with police. So while there's an idea that police reform, which just means put up with our foolishness, because they're not even asking for the right thing. They aren't asking for better pay to recruit better or better training methods. They're not saying that. They're saying, understand my lawlessness. So I'm all for it. I'm honest enough to admit that training needs to be more serious. There needs to be better pay. And if an officer is found to be at fault, he should be punished. Are the people screaming for police reform willing to say that about Michael Brown after he robbed a store clerk and beat him up and then attacked the police officer? Everything proved it. Everyone has said that hands up, don't shoot was a lie. It was a lie. And it's been proven. But they still hold a 12th anniversary of remembrance of a killer. That's your role model. You can't find anybody better than a criminal. That's who you take to the streets and burn down a city over, people who are being arrested. Not the black kid in Boulder, Colorado. The cop picked him up and threw him down. He was autistic. And the cop picked him up and threw him down and gave him a heart attack. You pick criminals? We don't hear anything else about Senatobia, Mississippi, the girl that was shoplifting diapers and a baby got shot. Because the truth came out. The police reform narrative. And what about judicial reform? Why don't we ask for judicial reform? Why don't we ask the court systems to be more efficient and sending things to trial? Why does it take 3 years to go to trial for a capital murder case? In that time, in that 3 years, the victim has begun to heal. Could you imagine being a victim of a sexual abuse and have to wait 3 to 5 years for your case to go to trial? You've begun healing. Maybe you're starting to forget about it and get back to normal. And then they show up, the court shows up and says, oh, we're ready to go to trial now. Well, I'm not. What if you are the victim of a shooting or in a car during a shooting and you're finally 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, you're finally sleeping. And they show up and say, well, I want you to relive that night for us. That's wrong. Why aren't we putting more pressure on the court system to move faster? Quick and speedy trial is in the Sixth Amendment. Why is it only police reform? We don't ask for judicial reform. We don't ask for better case management. We don't demand accountability when you're giving plea bargains to capital murders or release and catch and releasing serial abusers or thieves. We have so much sympathy towards them because of white systemic racism is keeping people in jail. No, your stealing is keeping you in jail. Your thievery is keeping you in jail. So along with asking for reform from police and law enforcement, help ask society to reform itself. I've never, see, now I have to be careful because I don't want my what I do for a living, but I know guys who are, when they go to work, they don't want to go to your house and break up a fight between you and your daughter. They want to go catch a burglar, robber, murderer. But because you have mismanaged your family, they have to. They don't want that thug, that bum, that criminal to get out on bond. They want him to remain in jail. But the court systems give them bond anyway. They want to go testify. But in 3 years, the officer that made the arrest might have gone to a different department, retired, or don't care anymore. So now the court is saying, well, we can't find the officer, can't find the detective, so we're going to have to give a plea deal. Why did it take so long? Why is plea deal? Because they're only concerned with conviction rates. They don't care if it was your daughter that was abused. It's not personal to them. It is to you. That is why we should have reform everywhere. We should have reform in society, repairs in society, just as we're demanding, constantly demanding that law enforcement do. But we also have to have it in our judicial system. These are principles, folks, and who wouldn't agree with that, that it shouldn't take 5 years to go to trial for capital murder? Everyone should have the right to a quick and speedy trial. Memories fade after 3 years, 5 years. And the older you get, your memory gets worse. I'm telling you now to say that 3 years ago, remember verbatim what happened 3 years ago for any incident, anything happy. It's hard for you to remember every detail because it takes so long that what your memory might include is what someone else told you they remembered. Or it might include something you saw on television or something you read. So when we say these things, let's be honest and let's have equity and say there's enough of this for everyone to participate in and not just one-sided. What set me off about this is Darren Wilson did not deserve to lose his job. Harry Hurst in Mobile around that same time did not deserve to lose his job in Mobile when a man attacked him. Or tried to shoot him, and he addressed it. And there are people who knew the truth but wouldn't tell it because that's in style. That's in vogue. So let's be honest. There's enough of this to go around. Stop looking at it from one single thing that the one time, the cops, the fuzz, the pigs need to understand where maybe once upon a time. Take that back. There was a time that cops were off the leash and were consistently abusive to people. We don't live in that time now. It has reached a point that we don't so much to the effect that people have to exaggerate every incident involving police. They'll find the anecdote and say, this is the temper. This is, hey, let's go all the way to Armpit, Arkansas and find what a cop did wrong. But we don't hold any accountability to the criminals that are beating their mothers, which lead to the police presence, or the old ladies who are calling and saying, I'm tired of these dope dealers. We don't hold any accountability to the court saying, why'd you give that murderer a plea deal? We don't have any accountability saying, why did it take 4 years to go to trial? So there's enough of this problem for everyone to have a piece of the solution. After this rant, if I'm back next week, it's because of the true and living God. If not, I went out on my shield. Thank you, guys.
I'll bring you back.
You'll bring me back. Thank you, Hatter. At least I have one fan. I haven't heard from Joe P. because he owes me lunch. Thank you, guys. Tonight I'm Mobile with Mr. Mobile. We'll see you next week.